Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, commencing at verse 26, the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the seed soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." The next reading, part of the reading, is headed "The Parable of the Mustard Seed." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, welcome to Mark 4. We miss one of my favourite sermons to preach on in the lectionary at this time, because it's the parable of the sower, and we go over that. But that's at the very beginning of Mark 4, and it talks about how the spread of the word of God and how it is actually received. And some people choose not to receive it. Some of the ground, it doesn't receive it. And I know that can be really hard for us sometimes, and I've learned that lesson a few times. But it's okay. God has got this going in the right direction for us. The next parable we come to is the parable of the lamp on a stand, not hiding the truth, but revealing it. And Jesus is revealing his truth as we are empowered and we are entrusted to reveal his truth in the world today. Then we get to the parable of the growing seed. And it's beautiful. The kingdom of heaven is like a growing seed. We don't always know how God's message grows, but we're just faithful that we're there at the right time for the harvest, and we notice when it's being fruitful. It says that the farmer stands there. He doesn't know how it's growing. He doesn't get all of it, and I don't get it all either. But it just happens beautifully. And then we get to the mustard seed parable. This is not the faith the size of a mustard seed parable. This is rather how something starts small and grows into something huge. The parable has a number of challenges and interpretations, a new faith in Christ on a personal and corporate level that grows into something magnificent that no one expected, and so much more. How good it is we can jump into this passage. You know, it says Jesus spoke in parables. In verse 34, actually, in fact, it says in his public ministry, he rarely taught without using parables. But afterwards, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. So why parables? Well, I'm so glad Jesus did not use a thesis to explain God, because we have actually recorded some 46 parables in the Gospels combined. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to read through all of these parables and see what is being said. And so why a parable? Well, a parable is a fictitious or made-up story designed to teach a lesson through comparison. And when you hear the story, you can relate it to your own life. It conveys its message of truth through an analogy and through comparison or contrast. Due to the fable-like nature, though, and the moral teachings attached to it, it's easier to remember and relate, like Three Little Pigs, Goldilocks, Chicken Little, and The Sky's Falling. You know, they're little things that we remember from our childhood. Parables are told so that only those who really care will come to know the truth. Not so much because they understand the parable, but because they care enough to ask, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" And they ask it after the story's finished. What does this mean? And they hang around long enough to have it explained to them, which is what the disciples did. And so these were actually used by the prophets in the Old Testament. And we think about Samuel. We think about David. When Samuel came to David and said, "Oh, you know, remember there was a man who had a heap of sheep. And then there was a guy who just had one little sheep. And the man who had heaps of sheep, well, he put on a feast and a banquet. But he went and took the little sheep from the one little man who only had one little sheep." David was outraged. We know what happened then, didn't we? A whole heap of repentance on David's behalf. The words just before our reading today say, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And then he said, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more you'll understand. And you will be given and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. I think Jesus is taking on the Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, they're there trying to pull apart his words, but they're trying to make it into such a technical thing. They're trying to make it into such a theologically kind of pulled apart and thesis type of thing. And they're just clueless to what he's actually saying. The mustard seed's an interesting one, though, isn't it? You know most people do not appreciate a plant until it flowers. I got to say that I plant lots of seeds in my garden, and sometimes the seeds go absolutely bonkers, and I think, I didn't plant that many, must have dropped a few. And then at other times, the seeds, they come up, but I don't appreciate them until they actually flower. I planted some okra, I loved it. It grew and it grew and it grew, and I had these stalks sticking out of the ground. And then some flowers came out one day. It took a long time, and then these flowers came out. But then it's fed me with almost half a kilo of okra every week for the past, or 400 grams of okra every week for the last 20 weeks. It's just amazing, these okra plants. Three little okra plants, huh? But we don't appreciate it until it flowers or fruits or does something unusual like eat a fly or change colour. Yeah. My frustration in gardening is how long a plant takes to grow to maturity. My joy is, once mature, how beautiful it has become, either to the eyes or the taste buds. How does something so small grow into something so big and magnificent? And this is what Jesus is talking about, is the mustard seed is a herb seed. It's one of the smallest herb seeds you can get your hands on, yet it grows into the biggest of all the herbs. Likewise, you know, this seed, how does something that's the seed of God that seems so small going into somebody, how does it transform that person's heart and change and transform their lives into something so magnificent and huge? We don't always see the early stages of growth but as maturity arrives, we see what the final product will be, and it is amazing. The problem is, I think, brothers and sisters, we live in an instant world. We live for the here and to now and today. You know, so if my fridge breaks, a lot of the time we sit there and say, well, I can ring Bing Lee and they'll have a new one brought to me tomorrow and they'll take my old one away and then it's all solved. It could even be this afternoon if I've rung them before 2 o'clock. We get hungry in a few short minutes. Our feast is ordered and delivered thanks to Uber. We want a car or a house and we don't have the money for it. It's okay. Credit's available right here, right now in Australia. Boom, you can go get it. It does, as long as you've got the means to pay. You can have it here and now, even if you don't have the finances for it. You know, you want a cake. You don't have to wait 3-4 hours for the whole process to be cooked and baked and everything. Just zip into Woolies, Coles. Cake it away, whatever it is. They've got them, Patterson's. Just turn up, there it is, pay the money, walk out. It's instant. And we live in a very instant society. The problem with instant is some things are better fixed than replaced. It just takes a bit longer, doesn't it? Jesus wanted to fix the world. He didn't want to replace it. It would have been easy for God to snap his fingers and say, there we go, we'll just get rid of all the people and we'll start again. No, Jesus wanted to fix the world. And we get frustrated when things take a while to take place. Even cooking toast, I got to tell you, I get frustrated. You know, you put your toast in and it's cooking and you're sitting there saying, oh, it's taking so long. So you turn around and get yourself a glass of water. You turn back and there's smoke coming out of your toaster. Happened to me this morning. When people claim they are changing, we expect the whole package today. I think when people become Christian, we expect the whole package today. We don't expect them to slip up or fall back. But God is here for the long haul of your life. And so I think these parables that he's given us today that speak about our lives and the lives of others and the greater church and the corporate church is really important. You know, I know a guy who, and I remember him quite distinctly. We went to school together. He was part of the group who bullied others up until year 10. He really was. He was in this tough group. And in year 11, we were both on a crusader camp. His dad was a church minister, so he had to come along. And I was in the crusader group, and I played guitar, so I had to go along to play music. And my nightmare was that we were put in the same room together, and we were. And I thought, this is going to be the worst week of my life. But as the week went on, he and I, we actually got on quite well. And at the last end of the week, he turned around and he said to the camp leadership, I'm deciding I'm going to follow Jesus. I've been getting it wrong all this time. And he did. He gave his life to Christ. But we went back to school and he went back to his old life straight away. He was back into the tough group, back into the bullies, wouldn't talk to me or acknowledge me. And I was really cranky at God. I said, God, you know, you meant to change that guy. He said he was going to change. He said he was going to follow you, and he doesn't seem to be doing any of it. Well, today he's a church minister. Amen. Today he is a church minister. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes I wanted things to be instantaneous back then, but God just had to work with that person in the right way and the right time and let him germinate hope for tomorrow. And I think that's the big thing. We need to germinate hope for tomorrow. It takes a long while to grow a mighty tree. And I think in our lives we know some men and women who are the mighty trees of our lives, and they didn't get there for but one moment in time. No, they got there because they grew up slowly and steadily and wisely. They grew up making mistakes just as we do. They grew up making good decisions and poor decisions, but learning from this, and that's they ended up becoming mighty trees for people. Places where we could go and shelter in, people, places where we could go and find rest in. Hey, Christian men and women, yeah. It's a true thing. And they're just there to just offer us some protection and shelter sometimes. I love the imagery that's used by Jesus here, though, hey? The parable now calls us, and we ponder a growing seed, something we cannot control. Do you understand that God is growing his seed inside each one of us? It's growing. And as we make decisions and as we grow in life, he's hoping that we grow into becoming those mighty trees. But the parable starts like this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Not this is what a mustard tree is like. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And it draws me to ponder every time I see this phrase in the Bible. What does it mean when Jesus or the disciples or Paul is writing, this is what the kingdom of God is like? It's like a seed germinating. And I love my garden, but I must admit I find it hard when the seed looks dry and dead. I had some seeds in my hand the other day, and some of them said they expired 2 years ago, and some said they expired next year, and I looked at them. They looked identical. They looked identical. We could not tell the difference between them. So I planted the ones that aren't meant to be dead yet. Just tip, they work better. But they look dry. They look dead. And then miraculously, I put them into the ground. And you know what? Last night I was out there in my garden, and you know what I saw? Little seeds sticking their heads through. Oh, I love it. Little shoots coming up. It's beautiful. So is Jesus saying that the kingdom of God looks dead for all intents and purposes in this time and place that he's walking in? However, it's ready to rebirth and grow again. Because I actually think that it's like a seed germinating. I think it's like that mustard seed. No one's knowing how it's going to re-germinate, but it's going to re-germinate. And Jesus is standing there. Is Jesus daring to suggest that he is the seed of new birth that will enter into the ground or the tomb and then will burst forth with new spiritual life for all? See, these are words of hope. What may look dead spiritually to all of the people of Israel at this time, he is actually saying, oh, but the kingdom of God is like that mustard seed that looks so small, tiny, and insignificant, but is about to become the spiritual tree for many, where you can all come and rest, where you all come and, you know, you can let go and let God do what he needs to do. This parable wants us to remind us to stop trying to control how people come to faith in God and just know that God is doing the amazing in unseen places. Stop trying to control the growth of the seed. Stop trying to control how a seed will grow, because brothers and sisters, that's not our gig. I don't know how God is going to work in the lives of other people. I just know that he's doing it, and I'm thankful. I didn't know how God was going to work in my life, but I know he's doing it, and I'm thankful. It also says that when the time is right, it will be ready to harvest. Some, it's like plants. Some plants only take 6 to 8 weeks before they're harvesting. I think of the radish, and then 12 to 13 weeks for beans and peas and the like. And so some folk take a while to make decisions to follow God, and they might not do it in your time frame. But just know that there'll come a time, and you've got to know when they look like they're ready, and just go and be with them and let them come into the kingdom, welcome them lovingly. We then move on to that parable of the mustard seed. Jesus is using this parable prophetically to talk to about the future of his church. It may seem to the disciples that this is only a small movement, but he's reminding them that as time goes on, this will be a magnificent and huge movement. This is not the parable of faith the size of a mustard seed. It is faith in the growing hope of God's kingdom becoming huge into the world. The disciples really have no clue that they are part of this journey. They don't realize they've started a journey of being part of one of the greatest spiritual renewal movements that the world has ever seen. And then it comes and says in verse 33, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them about without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. You see, I think that it was wise for him to do that. Because if we go back to chapter 3 in Mark, we start to get an understanding as to why Jesus taught with parables. You remember Mark 3, he heals on the Sabbath and then challenges the Pharisees and Herodians who have come out to find more about him. And so then they now start to plot ways in which to kill him and to stop his movement. So Jesus starts teaching in parables. It must have been a great sight, though, as the Pharisees and Herodians tried to work out what the heck he was saying. They must have thought he was going mad. And when he was actually teaching. And the thing was that the Pharisees and Herodians became less and less knowledgeable about what Jesus was saying, and the disciples became more and more knowledgeable about what Jesus was saying and had greater understanding. Let those who have ears hear. The power of a parable is so great that when the scriptures were being written, so many of these found their ways into the gospels. If they were not powerful, if they weren't a potent way of teaching, why would they have made it into the gospels? They made it in there because they were so useful for teaching about the kingdom of God and about Jesus, his works, and his words. The kingdom of God is, what is it? It's growing. It's bringing renewal and revival across the earth, and it has not stopped. And in fact, Christianity continues to grow today. We might sit there and say, but in Australia, Nick. Yeah, in Australia. But in India, in China, in Africa, it continues to grow at a great rate. I wonder if we've become disheartened in our society of Australia as we see and we know people trying to fulfill their lives. And they'll try anything apart from Jesus. They'll try drugs, they'll try alcohol, they'll try sex and pornography. They'll try anything apart from Jesus to find a fulfillment and a meaning, a purpose. But they don't. The ears are still listening today. And some people are still listening to the wrong things. And you know, that's their freedom. God's given them a freedom of choice. But folks, know this, that many in our society are listening for words of hope, words of life, words of love, and words of care. Words that welcome, words that forgive, words that restore, words of testimony to how God has loved and changed your life for the better. That's what they're listening for. The kingdom of God is like a seed that's put in the ground. We don't know how it grows, it just grows. Then it comes ready for the harvest. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that, although small, becomes the greatest of all the herbs. You know, remember you have been entrusted with some ancient words and words of life, words of hope. What does the song say? They give us strength, they help us cope. And in this world, wherever we roam, those ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words are ever true, changing me and changing you. We've come with open hearts, so let those ancient words impart. Brothers and sisters, may the ancient words impart into your lives today. In Christ's name, amen.